Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. This is the word of the Lord. Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?"
Well, good morning. I have at least 2 sermons, maybe 3, revolving around this parable. See, I believe the Lord in this parable to what he says to be true. And you see, he says in this particular parable that if we are to understand this parable, then we will be able to understand all the parables. And what I've found during my studies, and it's not always a good thing for a pastor to admit this, but what I've found is that my problem was that I don't think I yet fully understand the purpose of a parable. I'm not sure about you. And I want to understand it. I want to know more. I don't want to stay where I am. And I'm being honest with you. I grappled for a long time trying to work out what a parable is. What's the meaning behind it all? And so what I'm going to preach today is me trying to work that out aloud. And you're going to hear me thinking aloud, talking to God, I guess. Not in some kind of meditation. I'm going to preach, but they're my thoughts coming out of what a parable is and what it's all meaning. What's Jesus trying to say? Because I think about my past, and I've heard so many sermons about the parable of the soils and the sower, and I'm sure so have you. And you can probably tell me what the parable of the soils is all about. But if we sat down together and I said, "Well, tell me what a parable is for. What's the purpose of it all?" I wonder if you would be able to explain it. Well, I certainly have trouble, so that's what I aim to do today. What I'd like to do is to focus on the meaning and the purpose of parables in general, but looking at this particular passage, and then next time that I preach, to unpack the explanation of the parable. You see what the flow? So I want to pretty much focus on the last 3 or so verses before the first 10 verses. That's my aim, and I hope that you'll be edified through this. We'll see how I go. We'll see how far we get. I haven't got everything that I want to say today, so we'll start the clock, and I'll see about getting as much as I can through it today. That's my aim for you, to come along with me to understand what a parable is. So before we get going, let me pray. Father, there is a perception amongst your people, Lord, in evangelicalism, that we understand parables, Lord. that we understand, especially the parable of the sower or the soils, Lord. But Father, we want to learn more. We want to delve deeper. What is a parable? What is the purpose of the parable? What is the meaning behind the parable, Lord? How do you use it as an instrument, Lord? I believe you, Jesus, when you say that if we don't understand this parable, we won't be able to stand all the other parables. So I pray now for your glory, Lord, that you help us to understand. Help us along this path, whether we take 2 or 3 weeks, Lord, to really understand this parable. So then as we continue through the Gospels in the future, Lord, by your grace and Spirit, by your revelation, we may understand all the parables. I guess we're praying for wisdom, Lord, to know your word rightly, handle it rightly, and then have it dwelling within us. I guess it's the way that we glorify your name, Lord, understanding who you are and your word, fully understanding, seeking more of it, and then telling everybody else about it. For your namesake, I pray this, Jesus. Amen. Have you ever been to a party? Now, I know Baptists don't go to parties, right? But just humor me for just a moment. Have you ever been to a party or some social gathering, a gathering where there's quite a few people around, and heaven forbid there may even be some music in the background? And I know Baptists don't listen to any pop music either, but you manage to somehow engage in conversation. Has it ever struck you how in tune you can be to that conversation, even though there's a substantial amount of background noise? Of course, you may have to raise your voice ever so slightly, but everything else around you seems to blur into chattering noise, and somehow you're following this conversation amidst the noise around you. You know, this phenomenon is called the cocktail party effect. It is considered a survival trait that the brain employs to be able to concentrate and to be receptive to one channel of information, to be receptive to one specific conversation and filter out the noise around it. The cocktail party effect is what allows most people to tune into a single voice and tune out all the others. And there's also this unusual phenomenon that comes from this cocktail party effect, that while you can tune into one voice while tuning others out, there's also somewhat of this eerie development that while you may be tuning to one conversation, filtering out the other noises, your brain remains receptive and sensitive to the calling out of your name. I wonder if it's happened to you. So in a cocktail party, this effect can have you tune everybody else out but one voice. And even though you're still attentive to one conversation, if someone calls your name out from the other end of the room, your brain picks it up and your attention shifts. It's like the antenna of a radar that seeks a signal. Your attention turns towards the direction where you perceive your name has been called out. You may not have heard your name clearly, but you know someone is calling you. You know, I haven't really told Jody this, but that's what I do when I want her attention and she's gasbagging with someone else. You know, I sort of like come close to her, and considering she has a hearing problem, she won't mind me telling you this. I get close enough, but not too close. I don't want her to know my technique. And during my conversation, while she's having her own conversation, I say something like this as I'm having a conversation. Oh yes, Jody is a solid help for me. You see, and before I know it, her ears are pricked, and she shifts her attention towards me, and she doesn't really know what I'm saying. She just heard her voice, her name, and she shifts her attention. So the attraction gets the better of her, and before we know it, she abandons her own conversation and then she joins mine. And then when I have her in my conversation, I just change the subject, and I always invariably say something like, "Oh, is that the time? I guess we better be going now." And I've grabbed her and off we go. See, men, you got to try this, but don't tell your wives, and don't tell mine either. The cocktail party effect is an amazing discovery on how our brains function. You know, that we can be in a party with multiple conversations happening at once, with music in the background. We can tune out all voices but one. And it's also astounding how during this receptivity to one voice, we can also hear our name called out at the same time. And we immediately turn our attention from one conversation where we've tuned everything else out and automatically tuned to the voice calling our name. It's also overwhelming for me to think that God calls us in like manner. You know, one day we're living in the cocktail party of the world. To some, the cocktail party is just like more like a dance party world, marching to its beat. There are so many conversations happening all at once. The conversation at school, at uni, at work, with our friends at home. You know, and when I look back at my worldly life, it seemed like one big rave, you know, where they have dedicated areas with different music and beats, different conversation, one big hunk of noise, and I wasn't really listening to one voice. I wasn't really having one conversation, you know. I was listening to many voices, many multiple conversations, and not really hearing anyone. Until one day I heard my name called out. And my head spun around. At first, like I heard something drop behind me, you know, like that knee-jerk reaction. And then my life was more like that satellite dish, trying to hone in where my name was being called from, and without realizing how I got started, through the hearing of God's word preached, through the small snippets of reading His word, I had begun to hear one voice. I tuned into one voice and I started having one main conversation while everyone around me was turned out as noise. And this is how a parable operates. It is a story that is told, it's told to the noisy world out there, and it captures the attention of only a few. And it's not that the world can't hear the story. Oh, they can hear the story of Christ. They just can't decipher the ongoing conversation, you see. They can't understand the words of God in Jesus because there is too much background noise. They can't tune in and tune all else out. But you also see that a parable is not designed to deceive a person to failure, to fall. In fact, 19th century Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard said parables, interestingly, hear this, parables deceive a person into the truth. Do you get what he's trying to say? He's trying to say that a parable sort of tricks you into a false sense of security, detailing a descriptive story before it dumps a whole lot of truthful reality onto your lap and then says to you, what are you going to do with all that truth now? The word parable, oh my goodness, every sermon has to have a definition on a parable, doesn't it? And they have preachers call parable out in the Greek, parabole. Yeah, and they say things like the parable being para, being alongside. And that's what it is. So we have to tell you that. A parable is something that comes alongside something else. So a parable acts like a handle, a teaching aid. A parable is a story using the props of everyday life to convey and illustrate a moral and or spiritual truth and reality. Let's say that again. A story using the props of everyday life to convey and illustrate a moral and or spiritual truth and reality. So the parable that we see in the scriptures acts to hide a truth within a story, and it's usually told in a manner that the truth is busting to be revealed. It's a metaphorical veil. A parable speaks indirectly what cannot be said directly. You know, we may be even tempted to say it's like beating around the bush. But it's not mundane conversations that lead to a toothless point, you see. The point of parables carries eternal freight. A parable also reveals the condition. And this is where we go slow. A parable also reveals the condition of the hearer's heart by how the hearer responds to the parable. If the parable is rejected, the hearer's heart is unmasked as hardened towards the things of God. And if the hearer embraces the parable, the heart, it can be said, is softened and receptive to the spiritual truths of God. So you see, a parable unveils the authenticity of belief. However, the hearing of a parable is not just for listening or entertainment. It's not even to marvel at the wonders of God's imagination, but it is to move us. A parable is to disturb us. A parable is to hijack our attention and tune everything out and tune into one voice, one conversation. And it's supposed to cause us to answer back to what is heard. So the parable, in effect, is a dialogue. The parable is used as an instrument to infiltrate the minds and hearts of men and women through their ears to spark our response. Jesus speaks to an audience, and the hearer of the parable answers what Jesus asks through the parables by responding accordingly to what he's heard. You may have heard many parables before, Providence. And believe, I'm sure you've heard many, many, many sermons on parables. But I'll tell you right now, if you have not responded to that parable, if you not identified yourself in that parable while it was preached, you have not heard the parable. Without a response, that parable is useless to you. A parable always demands a response. So it's vitally important to begin seeing or hearing a parable as though you are in a conversation with God. Your eyes must be searching and your ears must be attentive to what the parable may be asking. It's only when we approach each parable with this attitude and when we understand that each parable asks something of the hearer, can we engage the parable with any hope of understanding? With any hope of being affected to be more like our Lord? In other words, again, what will you do with what you hear? And once again, it is the response of the parable that unbounds your heart. So what we have before us is what we can say is the parable of parables. In fact, when the disciples didn't get this parable and sought further understanding, Jesus said this, verse 13, right at the end of our passage. Do you not understand this parable? See how he identifies this parable. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Do you get the parable of the sower? Because Jesus is saying, you don't get that. You're not going to get any others. And that's why I want to pause for a few weeks on this. I think this is very important for us as a church. I believe what Jesus says here, and I actually take this quite literally. I think he'd be saying, if you get this parable, you're going to be able to get the others. So I don't want to just go chapter 4, verse 1 to 35 in one big sweep, and then next week you keep going. I want to just linger a little bit. I really want you and me to get this parable so then as a church we can move on to the Gospels getting all the other parables. Firstly, we've got to engage with this parable. There's some certain terms that we engage with. The first thing is this parable is not about the sower. It's not about the sower. This parable is not about the seed. But this parable is about the soils. That's why many preachers prefer to call this the parable of the soils and not parable of the sower. And the soils in which we will look at a little bit deeper in a fortnight or so is about the hearts and souls of those who hear the parables. The soils is analogous, is comparing the hearts of the hearer. We can't come to this parable thinking, oh, this parable is for the world. This parable is for unbelievers. Oh, guess what? You know this parable of the sower? My brother who's got this particular sin, he could really do listening to this parable. Or my sister, it'll be really good for her to listen to this. No, this is not a parable for them. This is a parable for me. That's how you begin. We need to ask, which one am I here? In this story that Jesus tells, this parable, which one am I? Where am I represented in this parable? See, this parable, nor this sermon, this preaching is intended to point a finger at you and say, ha-ha, see, you're this or you're that. But to ask, do you have the seed of the sower bursting forth and producing fruit in your life? That's the question it's asking you. It's not asking that to somebody else. It's saying, Wally, the sower planted a seed. Is your heart hard? Or are there thorns around your heart? Or is your heart fertile? It's not directed at you. I'm reading it saying, Wally, examine your heart. And so must you. So let's begin our study. That's my introduction, you see, I've got a lot to say. Let's begin our study. Look how it begins, verse 3. I really feel we would have been edified with so much more, and I'm going to show you. Look how it begins. It says, listen. Just pause. Where does that send you back? I know you, if you're not a Jew, you probably wouldn't get it. It's taking you back to the Shema, isn't it? Hear, O Israel. And now Jesus himself, the Son of God, stands up and says, listen, hear. And he begins, listen. So I wanted to go in that direction, but we got no time. Listen. It's an imperative, a plea. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. It begins with an appeal to listen. To listen to these words of Jesus. And then throughout the rest of this chapter, we see this hearing emphasis. So we just see it here in verse 3 where it says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And then in verse 9, we read, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then if we continue going, verse 20, those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Then verse 23, continuing in that chapter, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. Verse 33, with many parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. For those who turn and hear the words of Jesus, verse 11 tells us that the secret of God's kingdom will be revealed to them. That's why it's important to hear. See verse 11? Let me start from 10 to give you just the previous verse context. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. You listen. You listen to God's words. He will give you the secret of the kingdom of God. Can you see the parables then of Jesus are used to reveal the one secret, the mystery of the kingdom of God? The mystery is that the kingdom of God is now inaugurated in King Jesus and he's here. That's why it's like the cocktail party effect. That secret is thrown out to the world and only certain people are going to pick it up. Not everyone's going to believe it. And that's why Jesus is saying, hear my words, listen to me. He's calling out to the world, inaugurating his kingdom, building up his people. So parables, goodness, they're not bedtime stories, although we use them as bedtime stories. Nor are they Sunday school lessons for our children, although we use them as Sunday school lessons for our children. But the parable itself is the means by which Jesus enlightens hearers on the things pertaining to an eternal kingdom. If you have ears to hear right now and you're listening to me, hear. But I know even with us 30, some aren't going to hear. And yet we all have ears. This is what Jesus is saying. He's throwing out seeds. And I've got to be careful not to go next week's sermon. He's throwing out seeds. But it's not all fertile soil. See, the words of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to keep repeating myself because I can't help it. If you have ears, hear this. That the words of Jesus, they give life. If we could believe that. If I could make you believe that. The words of Jesus is the creative power of God redisplayed through the preaching of the word. God works by speaking words. Is this not how God began his great good work? Didn't God begin with words? With words, God brought forth creation. With words, God pinned the moon in the blanket of the night sky. With his word, God created solar systems and galaxies and cupped them in his hands. With his word, God gave birth to life. So it should not surprise us then that the Son of God now beckons us to listen to his words. Jesus calls us to hear his words. He says, listen to me. Because it will be by his words that Jesus summons his kingdom into existence and then he upholds it by his word. Do you like how Hebrews begins, the book of Hebrews? I do. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and he is the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Within the party of this world, whether you're in a cocktail, dance, or like a rave like mine, within the daily grind of life, there is this buzzing of voices. There is the technological competition for your attention. And within the noise, there is a voice. It's beckoning and appealing for you to listen to his words. And this is the purpose of this parable and all parables. It is the instrument by which God speaks and reveals the secret of his works of redemption. The parables of Jesus that act... The parables act like a gatekeeper into the kingdom of God. That amidst the cocktail party of life, some will either hear and then enter, and some won't. I need to tell you now, Providence. Those who enter the kingdom of God has got no power over you. You don't have the responsibility of ushering people into the kingdom. You're not the Messiah. That's God's business. So the preacher of today does the same as Jesus. I do the same now as the ambassador of my Lord. I'm calling out you. I'm pleading you. Listen. Listen to this. There are going to be words, just words to some people. There will be some people that just say with their words. But you that have ears to hear and you may be alive from these words. These words are God's words. Don't listen with ears that tell you that these are just stories. Don't listen that way. But listen, hearing that Jesus is speaking to you. Who are you in these parables? You must listen and see yourself in the parables so then you know how to respond, because it will be how you respond to these parables. It will be how you respond to these parables that unveil the authenticity of your belief. You see, when we get to unpack these parables, if you walk out the door and you don't see yourself in the parables, you have not heard. We want to be a church that when you walk out, you said, I've heard those parables and I am X. I'm in there. That's me. I can see myself there. So here is the first question you must ask yourself when you read the parables and when we address them in a fortnight's time, God willing. First question, where am I in this parable? You read a parable, you say, where am I here? The second question is, how will I receive what Jesus says to me through this parable? How will I be receptive to this? Will it affect my life, or will I just ignore it, reject it, or put it aside? They're the two questions that we must have before we engage a parable. So before we head out towards explaining the parable, I want us to see how the insiders, those who are around Jesus, who hang with Jesus, respond to the parable, because this gives us an indication of what Jesus considers the correct response. So come back with me to verse 10. You see, I'm only going through 10 to 12, back to 10. In verse 10 we read, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. You see, those who are around Jesus, those who hang out with Jesus, those who are the insiders with Jesus, they want to know more about Jesus. They inquire about the parables. Insiders want further understanding, further knowledge, further revelation. Insiders are not cold to the things of God. Insiders want to learn more. And to those that desire understanding, Jesus gives it to them. See how it says, back still on verse 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, verse 11, and he said to them, to you, those inside, has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. See how it doesn't say they worked it out. I went home, got a couple of commentaries, sorted it out. Worked through it, thought it through, discovered, but it says that the secret of the kingdom of God has been given. The revelation of the secret, the mystery to know of God's kingdom is given to Jesus, by Jesus and alone, by the work of his power through the Spirit. It cannot be discovered by one's own efforts. You see, even the disciples couldn't work it out. Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? They don't get it. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And then Jesus, what he does, we will see this. He begins to explain the parable throughout this chapter. See, the insiders, even though they don't understand, this is what differentiates the insider. Even though the person that is with Jesus doesn't understand, they still seek God's understanding. Are you like that? Where you read God's word and you go, I have no idea what's going on there, but I want to know. You know how it separates you from the outsider? They hear a parable, they read something of God, they don't want to know. They're not interested. That's boring. See, the unbeliever, the outsider, they lack understanding. But it's because they've hardened their hearts to God's truth. And in this hardened heart, they don't seek to know God's truth. But you may now ask, where does it say that the outsiders have hardened their hearts? Because it doesn't say here. Mark is so... I have little to work with here. Where does it say that the outsiders have hardened their hearts? Firstly, let me tell you that all unbelief is the hardening of a heart. But let me show you how unbiased unbelief is to the hardened heart. In two chapters' time, Mark documents the feeding of the 5,000. That's the good stuff. Remember the story? Jesus feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then the disciples, they get in the boat and they start rowing to the other end of the sea, and they're confronted by a strong wind. And then lo and behold, here comes Jesus. He's walking on the water. And Mark 6:51 says, "And he," that's Jesus, "got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." You know, after this event, Jesus gives a warning about the Pharisees, comparing them to leaven. And the disciples think that Jesus is rebuking them because they've forgotten bread. You know, that they're not, that they just can't connect the two. I'm like this all the time. They just don't understand. In Mark 8:17, we read, "And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Now listen, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear?'" See, even the disciples didn't have the full understanding. They couldn't work it out by their own wisdom and their own intelligence. They needed Jesus to teach them to open their eyes, to unblock their ears, to be able to hear and to understand. I'm trying to point forward that to and show you that it's only by the supernatural work of Jesus that opens eyes and ears to hear. And the means by which Jesus opens both eyes and ears is through the preaching of his word. And depending on your hearts and how you receive and then respond to the works of Jesus determines your understanding. And then that will unveil the authenticity of your belief. Because see how Jesus says in verse 11, "And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but those outside, everything is in parables and our conjunction. But to those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" There's that seeing and not perceiving and hearing and not understanding language. It tells us that those who do not understand are those that have hardened their hearts to the words of Jesus. So then Jesus pronounces a judgment upon these outsiders because they've hardened their hearts, unwilling to learn from Jesus. And so that would be like the judgment placed upon the people of God in Isaiah's time. They will be just given parables without an explanation given to them. That's why he quotes Isaiah 6 in verse 12. Verse 12 is Isaiah 6, where he says, "They may indeed see but not perceive. They may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven of providence." If you have ears to hear, listen to the voice of the Lord here. He's calling out people from the noise of the world. He's telling them about his kingdom. And there are going to be people in your life that will harden their hearts and they're not going to believe. And then God will use that very calling to harden their hearts so then they will not be forgiven. It's a flashback to the unforgivable sin. This is sobering stuff. If you have ears to hear, oh, listen. That we would tune out from the worthless conversations and tune into hearing the word of the Lord and his voice only. Lest we harden our hearts to his teaching and his beckoning and become like the outsider, forever seeing and never perceiving, forever hearing, never understanding. Now, before we despair, thinking that, you know what, I don't understand these parables. Am I one of these outsiders? I want to put your mind at ease. Look at the contrast that Jesus gives to those outside against those inside. You know, these descriptors of insiders and outsiders is a flashback to verses 31 and 35 of chapter 3. Do you remember the story? The mother of Jesus and his brothers think that Jesus is nuts, so they go out to try and find him and get him out. And it says in verse 31 of chapter 3, and his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. And then he says this, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus is saying that those on the inside, those around me, Jesus says, I will reveal the secret of God's kingdom. And by revealing the secret of God's kingdom to them, they will be able to do the will of God. And by doing the will of God makes you part of God's family, part of God's kingdom. So you have to respond to this and say, do I obey the will of God? But to all outside, to all outside the kingdom of God, Jesus says in verse 12, I will limit my teaching to parables. I'll give them a story with a hidden truth without revealing the truth, without revealing the secret to the kingdom of God. Those outside cannot obey the will of God. Later in our chapter, Jesus says this about the outsiders. Verse 34. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. The parable awakens our dreamy minds to see the contrast between the hearer that obeys and the hearer that rejects. The hearer that obeys the will of God is the one that has the secret of the kingdom of God. But the only way to obey is to hear. I'm back to that again. To hear the words of Jesus. To hear the hidden truth behind his teaching. So what is the proper response to the parables of Jesus? Those who join Jesus obey him by following his teachings. If you love Jesus, if you heard about Jesus, if you think you're an insider, you will inquire further of his truth. You'll be seeking further understanding, further revelation. Those who are in Christ want to know more. And to those in Christ, to them, Jesus says he's given the secrets to the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, who hear superficially, you know, they hear parables, they come to church, but they abandon everything they heard as soon as they walk out the doors. They don't care to know more. It's not a matter of life and death for them. If you really are inside, you want Christ. If you are outside, Sundays are an option to you. Sport on? Yeah, it is. We go to sport. We go to church next week. You're an outsider. If you pursue Christ, you want to know him. You seek him. You love him. You give life for him. You're inside. Oh, I have to speak this way, because then Jesus says in that the parable becomes the judgment. If you have ears to hear, listen to the words of Jesus. The outsider is the hearer that comes to church or study group or prayer or anywhere where the word of God is expounded, and they fall asleep during it, or in one ear out the other, or rejected as frivolous. Oh, I pray that within the noise of this world, you'll be found hearing one voice, one conversation. That the words of Jesus speaks into the fertile soil of your hearts. I pray that you have a great awareness of what parables mean for us. I'm certainly learning a lot more. I've learned that the parable unveils the authenticity of your heart. That the parable exposes the heart. The parable brings a hidden truth to insiders, but also obscures the truth to outsiders. I've learned that those who have hardened their hearts, Jesus withholds the mystery, the secret of the kingdom of God. To the hardened heart, the parable becomes an instrument of judgment. Oh, they will have eyes, but they won't perceive. They can't decipher the truth. They will have ears, but they won't be able to work out what it all means. They never understand. They don't hear properly because there is just too much noise around them. Their hardened hearts have tuned out the voice of Jesus and tuned everything else in. And this parable is a flow-on effect from the unforgivable sin. That if they persist in their hardened hearts in this state, they are impeded from perceiving and understanding the truth in the parables of Jesus. And in that state, they cannot turn, they cannot repent and be forgiven. That is the sobering reality of verse 12. So that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Oh, again, if you have ears to hear this, listen. If you're in Jesus and you're around Jesus, you want to know more about Jesus, you keep seeking his lordship. To you, Jesus says, he's going to give you the secret of the kingdom of God. Jesus is going to give you everything that you need to enter into his kingdom. I hope you see the importance of listening to hear the words of Jesus spoken to you. To not slumber, but to awaken. To open your eyes to see and your ears to hear. You know, we live in a privileged time. Jesus preempted our time by telling his own disciples in Matthew 13, 16. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now that you see, now that you hear, what are you going to do with what you hear? This is how we come to the parables. This is the disposition before Jesus when he begins to tell us a parable. This sermon's about that. Preparing us. Our brains are wired to respond to such a phenomenon like the cocktail party effect. You know, we can engage one voice in one conversation, but the moment our names are called by another voice, we immediately divert our attention. You know, all it takes in conversation is someone to mention our name. All it takes is someone to give attention to us, and our minds turn away. But you know, Providence, our hearts are not wired to naturally hear the voice of God. To immediately understand the hidden secrets of God. Because what we need is a supernatural plowing of our hearts to be able to hear the secrets Jesus speaks. The words of eternal life. Parables are used to unveil the authenticity of our belief. The parable reveals truth to insiders, but obscures the truth to outsiders. So how are we to have this divine revelation? Well, that's what we'll see and reserve for a fortnight from now when we unpack the parable of the sowers. But now I pray to God by his grace that I've done enough to prepare us to listen to these parables. Let me pray. Father, your ways are beyond our understanding. You say they are inscrutable. Lord, I take this very seriously, this responsibility to preach through your parables. So I'm thankful and I'm grateful that we spent today just speaking about the parable. Not about the parable of the soils, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the prodigal son, but about the parable, your instrument, Lord. So I pray that you have enlightened your people and you're preparing their hearts now, oh Lord, because when we come to preach and to unpack what you say about the soils, well, Lord, you tell us that it will be the disposition of their hearts that matter. I guess, my Lord, I've just realized I didn't know what I was doing, but now I've just realized, are we plowing our hearts now for the parable of the soils, Lord? Oh, it is. And that's what it was. I thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.